This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, welcome back. Joined in studio by our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. Skins on the road tonight in Tampa. One thing I'm excited about this evening's game, the Bucs are the featured team on Hard Knocks, HBO.
Yes, underrated here.
We get a lot of Redskins content behind the scenes, mic'd up, what the Redskins players and coaches are saying pregame. You know you're going to get that handshake between Jay Gruden and DeSean Jackson where there's a conversation about him leaving Washington.
A nipple twist, probably.
It's going to be something. We're going to get a lot of audio from Kirk Cousins talking to Jameis Winston. I love that. And we'll never get the Redskins on Hard Knocks. It's just too good to be true. But we'll get the Redskins every few years playing the team that is on Hard Knocks, which is the next best thing.
It gave us so much great audio when Houston visited Richmond.
It did.
It gave us so many gifts.
And the Redskins against the Jets in the preseason, the
year that they were
on.
Yeah, when Nick Mangold S-talked them.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's going to be fun. So get ready for that Tuesday night.
Love it.
A little under a week away. Our phone lines are open. Some calls coming in at 800-636-1067 on tonight's game. Want to know who you guys are intrigued by, what players you want to see make the team. Chris is in Manassas. What's up, Chris?
Chris,
this is the part where you talk to us. It was a good chat. Let's talk to Marty in D.C. Hello, Marty. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, you guys? Good morning. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm really interested in the Maurice Harris thing. I mean, he's given us more over the past 2 years than Doxson has. And granted, Doxson has been like, he was our top draft pick. You know what I mean? Harris has actually shown us something on the field. So to say he's expendable is kind of a stretch, I'm guessing. And I just want to throw in also, I would love to see us on Hard Knocks. I mean, we've been in on with the guys in Houston. We've been on with the Jets, and we'll be on with Tampa. So, I mean, we should be the last team on there, right?
Marty, let me ask you a question. I agree with you that it would be great to see the Redskins on Hard Knocks. You got to want to do it or be basically forced to by the league, and they don't qualify to be forced to right now. But on the wide receivers, you say it's a stretch that Harris would be expendable. You only keep five. I'm going to cut you off because I got a weird feedback. Thanks for the call. You only keep five or six. It's more likely six than five. But there are five guys clearly ahead of him on the depth chart. Terrell Pryor, Josh Doxson, Jamison Crowder. There's three. Ryan Grant.
Whether we like it or not.
Yeah, I always lay out for a pregnant pause there.
Hold on. Number 14, Ryan Grant.
All right.
That's what it deserves.
And then number five would be Brian Quick, who they signed as a free agent, who's had a pretty good preseason and has big physical ability. And in a wide receiver group where Terrell Pryor's dropping passes, Doxson can't get on the field. You basically have one guy that's proven it can play, and that's Jamison Crowder. So Quick, who had 500 yards in the league last year, elevates himself for me. That means Harris would be the sixth guy. So I don't know why it would be a stretch to say he's expendable. Again, there's a lot of guys like him around the league.
Yeah, I would. He makes my roster. Let me put it that way. But if he doesn't make it, I will neither be surprised nor will I be appalled that he has made it, or that he didn't make it. He played in meaningful games. They had him run meaningful routes last year. He had big catches for them last year. But any idea that he's like better than Josh Doxson because he's done more so far that's a stretch. Did you guys hear Scott McLuhan's interview with JP?
I haven't yet.
It was good. What I've listened to so far, I've listened to about half of it. But one of the things he says is he thinks that if Josh Doxson plays 16 games, obviously big if, he will lead this team in receiving. I tend to agree with him. He's that good. I don't want to start the hype train over because that got us just in a land of sadness.
Oh yeah.
This preseason, but like this dude, when he gets to play, is very, very special. He is supremely talented, and if he figures out his health and learns how to play through pain or whatever it is that he needs to do or learns how to not be in pain and his body starts healing better, he will be worth it.
He reminds me a lot of Jordan Reed early on in my time on the beat with the Shanahans. And the reason I say that is, go into this.
This is important.
Mike and Kyle Shanahan used to talk all the time about how good this guy was, how talented he was, how special his skill set was. And basically that at that time, A, he was injured all the time. But B, when he wasn't injured and he was just hurting, he didn't really know the difference. And that he had to learn how to push through pain, basically. That he had to learn how to play when he could play and actually know when he couldn't. Eventually, and he's still not healthy all the time. He's still going to be your 12 to 14 game a year type player. But now he plays enough that you see one of the best tight ends in the league. And I think Josh Doctson similarly is that kind of guy when he gets on the field. I always go back to that catch he had against Green Bay from Kirk Cousins on an in-breaking route where he used beautiful footwork to win, and he got inside on a slant. Terrell Pryor doesn't make that move with that footwork. He just doesn't. The only other guy on the team that does is Reed and Crowder.
It's Crowder.
Those two guys are fringe Pro Bowl talents.
Not surprisingly, both of them basketball players growing up. Like it's something that when you're a basketball player growing up, like the crossover step, that thing that you've done 100,000 times, it just translates to football in a way that is very visible. And Crowder's a basketball player growing up. Reed, obviously, a very good basketball player growing up. Doctson was a basketball player growing up.
You see tight ends all the time in the draft who played some college basketball.
That footwork is just such an easy translation.
I don't think he'll lead them in receiving, though, only because, let's say he plays 16 games. I think more than I would, like the Redskins and NFL teams, they make you earn everything. So he won't just get 10 targets in week two. That's not going to happen. I think it's going to be about a quarter way through the season before he becomes Josh Doctson, even if he's healthy. But I love the point from McLuhan, and I agree with you about the skill set.
Well, remember, for Jordan Reed, it wasn't just games missed. It was series missed. Like, he would make a catch, get hit by two or three guys, and then you just hold your breath. You go, is he coming back?
Off the field for a quarter.
He'd miss some time, then he's like, okay, now I can go back in. I mean, I'd like to get to even that level with Doctson, where he's in a game and he gets banged up and then he comes back later. I mean, we're in the warm-ups of games. We're jogging through things with headphones on, having him struggle. I would just love for him to be healthy. It would, because I'd love to see it.
All right, let's talk D-line. Ziggy Hood has become not only a lock, but maybe one of the most important players on their defense.
That's not a great state,
Stacy McGee, free agent addition, is not going anywhere. Terrell McClain has shown nothing. Do you think he's a lock?
I do. I think they knew it was going to be an adjustment period, and they're paying him a lot of money to cut him.
Jonathan Allen, first-round pick, is not going anywhere. He's a starter. Matt Ioannidis, to me, looks way better than he did a year ago.
Absolutely, agreed.
Okay, so there's five. As a sixth guy in, I would say the competition is then Francis, Lanier, and Embu. Do you keep one or two of those guys? And of those noses, Francis and Embu, who's ahead of who?
Well, I think that's the interesting thing. Is it between Francis and Embu, or is it Francis and Embu for one spot and Anthony Lanier versus himself for another? Because I think they like Lanier. I think he's practice squad eligible. I'd have to double check. There's so many rules and exceptions and things. I think he's practice squad eligible.
I'd be curious to know if he is.
I think he was a college free agent last year, right? I think he is.
Yeah, he should be practice squad eligible.
Yeah, no, you're right. So there's no way he's accrued two seasons. So he should be practice squad eligible. They can probably sneak him to the practice squad. And it goes back to what I said a little earlier. Without Phil Taylor, do you feel really good about Francis or Embu, or would you rather have them both to be able to rotate and A, keep them fresh, or B, give one of them more time to emerge as the leader?
I'd keep Lanier and one of those guys. Because one of them's not going to be, like, one of those nose tackles, if you keep them both, they're not active on game day anyway. You're just keeping them around. To me, there is a 0% chance, assuming Joey Embu is practice squad eligible. I know he was on San Francisco squad last year. I'd have to look into that. There's no chance that guy gets claimed. And if he does, I'm not losing sleep over it.
Yeah, I'll be okay.
AJ Francis, I doubt, is practice squad eligible because he's bounced around the last couple years on a bunch of teams, but maybe he is. I really don't know. I would keep one nose and Lanier. I think Lanier can play. I really do believe, like, if in week 11 this year, if he was a starting end, he would be as good as Terrell McClain potentially.
Yeah, if you did the Pepsi challenge with him and Terrell McClain, I don't know if there'd be that much difference right now. And I know I'm overstating it, but McClain and how up I am on Lanier.
I like Lanier's prospects. McClain's a bigger guy in that 3-4. I think he's better suited at end. I'd feel better about Anthony Lanier with his build in a 4-3.
But they're only in 3-4 for a dozen to 15 snaps in a game.
When they're a four-down lineman, he would be inside.
Sure. I'm okay with that. He's such length and quickness. I just think he's going to be a player in the league. Maybe it's not here. And if that's the case, I'm not going to, again, cry over it. But I that's a guy I look at and I go, football player.
Yeah, I'm also not talking three downs every series. You're not going to treat him like he's a stud. The way they're going to do this is basically like hockey shifts, is the way I see it, with Tom Sula rotating guys and now keeping
them exactly
fresh, right?
That's exactly what they're going to do. And look, if Anthony Lanier makes this roster, I'm not going to be upset. He's on the list of guys in consideration. I just don't have strong feelings.
So who do you have in or out then? What's your D-line for your 53 you form?
Let's go. The guys we all said were locks, and then Embu and Lanier.
You've got them, and you got seven on D-line.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they need the depth.
I agree with you.
I do
would
too.
Keep seven, and I would go Embu and Lanier as well.
I think they're going to keep six. I think they're going to make a mistake and keep like Sudfeld or an extra receiver or something dumb. They need seven. They'll keep six.
I don't have Sudfeld on my roster, whatever it's worth.
I do not either. Got him on practice squad.
Not on mine, but they're going to keep him.
Craig, thanks for hanging out with us, buddy. And congrats again. Looking forward to spending time with you all season long. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Your calls on tonight's game against the Bucks. The player you're standing on the table for on the bubble next on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.